Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Startopia Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, the inaugural episode of Startopia Radio. Stone, how you doing?
I am doing well. It's springtime, man. It's time for fresh and new ideas, and this is going to be such a fun show, and what a great segment to get things started. We have with us the principal fuel behind Startopia, Trevolino Keller. We have Dean Trevolino and Jenna Keller with us. And they're going to introduce in a little bit later in the program, president and founder of Kanga, Mr. Everett Steele. Welcome to the show, Dean and Jenna. So good to have you this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks. We're glad to be here.
So, Dean, let's start with mission, purpose. What are you guys trying to accomplish with this Startopia?
Sure. And thanks for having us here this morning. You know, there's an enormous amount of activity going on in the startup, marketplace, both in Atlanta and around the Southeast. It is, somewhat challenging to kind of keep track of all of it, whether you're a startup company, whether you're a new angel investor, or, one of the new incubators that has popped up recently, like Atlanta Tech Village. We've got angel associations like Atlanta Tech Angels. There's just a lot of stuff, including what has been around for some time at the institutional level and in what Georgia Tech has done with ATDC. And so, we just felt like it was time to create a brand that would essentially make it easy to keep track of all of this activity and connect people. Startups, venture capitalists, incubators, they kind of have peaks and valleys. And so we wanted to make sure that you could always keep track of where a company was throughout their cycle, whether they, started out as a beta company or had moved to launch or even began to kind of scale over a number of years. And so Startopia in its, initial phase, and we're calling this kind of a 1.0 launch, begins with a portal that makes it very easy for you to find, any of those entities, startups, capitalists, experts in the field that are serving startup companies, as well as what we're calling Tech Town, which is institutions, incubators, and the like.
Now, let's talk a little bit about why it's important to serve the startup community. There's a lot of businesses out there that feel that startups, they don't have any money. There's no real business case to really serve them. Let's let them kind of fend for themselves. And in a lot of places around the country, that's the case. But lately, it seems that in different areas around the country, there is some effort to build community around startups and different, there's from an economic development or government standpoint, they're trying to really encourage that kind of community. Now, Startopia is a portal, an online portal, and it's kind of doing it in a virtual manner. Can you talk a little bit about why and any type of community should invest in startups?
Yeah, well, I think, there's a lot of data out there, and I don't think anyone would argue with the fact that, small businesses are the backbone of our economy. The more that we can fuel small business, whether they're the traditional startup, and a lot of people think of startups as kind of business-to-business technology.
Right. Is Startopia going to focus on technology-only startups, or can they be startups like in retail or franchising or manufacturing?
Yeah, great question. And, I think that, there's a, integration of all of those things today. So we're not going into it thinking that it's just the traditional business-to-business startup, mm-hmm. right? That there is a lot of consumer, applications out there, whether they are, in fact, mobile applications or whether they're e-commerce plays that are very much focused on consumer. And so, we're open to anyone that is a startup that looks for funding.
So it's not necessarily technology only.
It is not necessarily technology.
So Jenna, you guys are no strangers to coloring outside the lines a little bit. Tell us, if you will, how Startopia fits in with Trevolino Keller, what is it, Groovy Studios. Tell us a little bit about the thinking pattern behind having those different efforts in place and how they all come together.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, by day, our core business is Trevelino Keller Integrated Public Relations Firm. But for years, we have been invested in and worked with the startup community, starting in 2006, I think it was, by founding the Startup Council, which, you know, we offered companies gratis consulting for all the disciplines a startup needs and brought in partners, whether it was legal, accounting, marketing, you know, you name it. And found that was very successful, a lot of fun. You know, we saw a lot of great ideas, a lot of innovation, but we had trouble tracking those companies. And we'd meet with them, kept up with them, and after they went, they went. So that sort of parlays into Startopia. Groovy Studios is, yes, another one of our offerings that we've created, which really allows folks and is designed for startups in particular to have some one-off services, primarily more from a creative end. So if they need a piece of collateral, they need a trade show booth, they need a sales deck, we can do that, because oftentimes, you know, these startups need a few things to get going, particularly to get in front of the VC world or the angel world.
Now, Dean, you brought the guest with you. How about introducing your guest, if you would, and let's learn a little bit about their business.
Sure. So today we have with us Everett Steele, who is one of the founders of Kanga, which recently launched in Atlanta. I think it's a very cool company. He's bringing together a lot of different, you know, technologies and kind of things that are mainstream right now. When you look at brands like Uber, he's taking a little bit of a piece of Uber and applying that to delivery and leveraging crowdsourcing. And so I'm going to let him kind of tell you what it's about, but we love the brand. We think it's got great potential to become a real national, you know, iconic brand, much like we've seen with Uber and some of the other ones coming out.
Kanga, what a cool name. I got to find it. What is the genesis of that name first?
You know, it was interesting. It was and you know, first off, thank you so much, Dean and Jen and Lee and Stone for having me on. You know, it was a long process. We had many multi-hour kind of brainstorming sessions. We actually we brought in some of our friends over at a company called Matchstick down here in Atlanta, and they helped us through the branding process and the naming and, you know, kind of designing the whole visual identity. But it was fun. It was a lengthy, tiring, but really enjoyable process. And when we landed on Kanga, I think we just had one of those aha moments. I mean, it's fun and it's kind of snarky, but it also, you know, it evokes this idea of kind of moving things. You know, you've got the kangaroo pouches and, you know, so on and so forth. But we love it. We knew pretty quickly as soon as we saw it that this was the brand that was going to fit what we're trying to do.
So now, can you share a little bit about what you're trying to do? How are you out there helping people?
Yeah, absolutely. So Kanga is a basically a crowdsourced delivery platform. We have sort of two main sides to it. We have what we call our peer-to-peer side, which is basically just an open marketplace where you can get things moved across town for whatever reason. Maybe, you know, for instance, maybe when I leave here, I accidentally leave my cell phone in your office and get all the way back to Midtown and think, oh gosh, I got to get my phone back, but I can't take an hour off work to get back up here. Log into the app, tell people what I need, where it is, where it's going. Hey, I'll pay $10 for that. That's it. We got a couple hundred people across the Atlanta area who are driving for us right now. They log in, they see it, they coordinate it, it gets to me. So, you know, it's a great service of convenience and simplicity for, you know, individual people who need to, you know, a scenario like that, or you need to move a couch and don't have a truck. The other side of it is, you know, basically our retail component. And for that, we integrate with retailers with their existing point of sale or e-commerce system. And what we do is we enable them to basically have a local delivery fleet without any upfront costs, any, you know, having to maintain a fleet of vehicles and train drivers and, you know, all the things that come along with the headaches of that kind of last mile logistics. And it works really well. We've got some great great partners here in the Atlanta area, and we're onboarding more every single day. And so far, it's going really well. We're excited.
Well, I got to tell you, this is very attractive to me because I've got a kid graduating from the University of Georgia. Yeah, but her truck's tiny. The couch is big, and then you know, we got to move couches. I'm getting too old to move couch around. And I'm sure the next trip is going to be to IKEA to outfit the new place that she's going to go to graduate school.
Right.
This is right up our alley. So as you were getting this thing off the ground, I would think one of the bigger challenges would be just going to get all of these partners assembled. Speak to that process.
Oh, absolutely.
Bit.
I mean, as you can obviously imagine, onboarding. You know, we've got drivers, we've got consumers, and then we've got the retailer. So it's a 3-part process.
Wow.
So I think we've done a couple of pretty clever things, and I'll give total credit to the guys on my team who put this together. Just a really talented group of people, and they have come up with this plan where basically we are going to events and festivals around Atlanta. One of the events is pretty much every Saturday at the parking lot of IKEA. We did a lot of volume there on Saturday, despite the rather crummy weather. But we were at the Dad's Garage Bacon Fest on Saturday, just kind of getting the word out, getting people signed up. And what we're doing is we're basically offering sort of a coterie of gratis services. So we'll store your stuff. You know, maybe you buy a big painting at Dogwood Festival that's coming up. We'll be there. You buy this painting, you want to keep enjoying the festival, but you don't want to lug this thing around. Give it to us. We scan it. We barcode it. We give you a little, one of those indestructible wristbands that you'll have on for the next 3 days. And and that's about it. The only thing we charge for that is we're going to ask you a couple questions. Basically, what retailers do you like in Atlanta that you'd like to see offering this service? We then take that data directly to the retailers and say, hey, 250 people at Dogwood Fest want you to use this service. Here's where you sign up, and it's real simple.
And do you give them the email addresses of those 250 people?
We do not, no. That might be a 2.0 service we offer here. It's kind of a non-traditional way of acquiring retail partners, but, kind of using more of a pull than a push method. But so far it's working really well. We've onboarded some great merchants, and I think that will continue to grow throughout the summer and then spread nationwide in early fall.
So now when the retailer is using the service, so now that's just implemented as part of a service that they offer?
Exactly. And so, for them, we make it, we're all about sort of helping small to mid-sized businesses. And one of the ways we do that is the terms are up to them. They can charge more for our service than we charge them.
Mm-hmm.
They can charge less and kind of use it as a loss leader to promote business. They can make it a pass-through cost. We really don't care. It kind of works out all the same for us. And so it's all about them, setting the tone for how they want to use us. But as far as, for e-commerce, it's just like, instead of selecting UPS at checkout, you select Kanga, and everything is automated. The retailers don't have to check on the statuses. They don't have to message the driver. All of that is handled in the back end of our system, and it's a really slick piece of technology. We're really, really proud of it.
Well, the service sounds fantastic to me, but also just your creativity and how to get the word out and start getting folks involved in all three of those constituencies. I got to know, with that level of creativity, how did Trevilino Keller and Startopia enter your circle? Do y'all just hang out at creativity camps, or how did this relationship get off the ground?
So we started working with Kang a few months ago. Again, from the Trevilino Keller side, we work with a lot of startups, and so it was a natural kind of fit for us to come together and help Everett and his team with the launch. And it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it is a great brand. And there's the marketplace is ripe for it, right? We've got a lot of drivers out there who are looking for extra income. And so, there's some pretty cool ways for them to make some money in an efficient manner. As Everett was saying, the retail market is kind of ripe for this kind of, add-on, capability. And so, we've been working together for a few months now.
Now, has there been any challenges lately? There's some of these crowdsourced entities like Uber and Lyft specifically have had some insurance issues, had some kind of challenges on their own regarding regulations in some markets. Has that impacted you at all?
It really hasn't for us, but you're totally right. It has been a pretty big thing in the sort of the insular world of crowdsourcing. A number of cities around the country have done a pretty good job of sort of weaponizing their legislature against companies like this. And, Miami's really struggling with it. I think they're about to get Uber approved down there. But, the argument is that the taxi drivers are basically afraid of this kind of industry. And they're not wrong. They are, inarguably very unfairly hamstrung. The industry has not kept up with sort of the evolving technology. I mean, it's illegal to, measure fare distance with GPS. I mean, that's ridiculous. The military can put a missile through a window using GPS. I'm pretty sure it's good enough to get me from the airport. But, Atlanta, we did have some legislation prop up here a couple weeks ago. All the representatives that put their name on it have since withdrawn. So I think we're going to be pretty good about it. I spoke with Mayor Reed, actually, oh gosh, I guess a couple months ago now. But you know, he said he loves the idea of what we're doing here, and he loves the crowdsourcing, and he's going to make sure that Atlanta's doing the right things. I mean, obviously, we don't want to have a wild, wild west of gypsy cabs running throughout the city, but I think the safety records and history of companies like Uber and Lyft have proven that that's just not the case, and that's not what's happening anywhere in the whole world, really.
All right, let's get this conversation focused back where it belongs, on me and mine. When we talked about these three constituencies, one of which I'm getting the impression is people can earn money by tapping into this. So my high school kid with a car or my college kid with a car, they could be the ones that answer the opportunity to go pick up your cell phone and run it to your office. Is that accurate?
Oh, absolutely. We have everything from people on foot working just right around the office in Midtown.
Well, cool.
We've got a couple bicycle couriers. We've got people in smart cars, pickup trucks. We've got people in big panel cargo vans, cargo trucks. I mean, we've got a wide range because, you know, we need to cover down on kind of any scenario. Sometimes it literally is just, hey, you know, this contract needs to go from my office on West Peachtree up to, you know, Atlantic Station. Great, now you could do that on a bicycle in 15 minutes. Or maybe, like this past weekend, I need to get a three-piece L-shaped couch from IKEA up to Buckhead, and we've got a vehicle to cover on that as well. So, yeah, no, it's great. I mean, someone like your daughter would be perfect for this, and I'm happy to help her get signed up.
So how do you vet the person that wants to get involved with this?
We have a couple different strategies. On the peer-to-peer side, it's a little bit more open-ended. We're mostly just a sort of job board there. I mean, we're basically just connecting people in need with people who can do the driving. We do, you know, we bring them in, we make sure they're insured, they have a good driving history, we verify that their name and address, you know, match to a state ID, we photograph them, we photograph their car, and then we have about a 15-20 minute training system on here's how you use the app, here's how you respond to people, here's the quality and, you know, caliber of customer service that we really, you know, require. And then the app itself has some measures in place. You know, once you pick up a package, you're tracked by GPS, so we know where you are. There's no risk of, you know, people stealing your stuff. I mean, you know, we not only can we track them, we have a feedback system. So at the end of the transaction, you rate your driver 1 to 5 stars and leave him a little feedback comment. So, you know, as you're going through, you can say, okay, this guy's rated 2 by everybody. This guy's rated 5. I'm going to go ahead and let him do the service instead of, you know, this crazy guy.
So this thing is up and running?
Absolutely.
All three of these constituencies can tap into this
right
app at this
second.
Point? Well, everything I know, Jenna, about public relations and helping a company like this get off the ground, you can stick in your eye and still see out. But I got to believe this particular company must be just a blast to work with. It's just rich with opportunities to promote. Yeah,
well, everybody in the office is having a lot of fun with it, and you know, I immediately thought, oh, Craigslist, and there's a whole new addiction, right, from
sure.
that perspective. But you know, one thing I did want to touch on was you listen to what Kanga is all about. It's disruptive, it's exciting. And Lee, to your question earlier of, you know, why support startups, why work with startups, for exactly this reason. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many amazing disruptive technologies and that become companies out there that we love to work with and we love to launch and we love to get exposure for. And, you know, we think it's kind of exciting when, you know, New York looks at Uber and is incredibly threatened and they were the first to start that. It's disruptive and you like to be a part of that. And Atlanta's had a lot of great exits from a startup perspective and we hope to be a part of building the next group.
Well, and to your point, with this Startopia portal, we can follow Everett, we can follow
yep.
Kanga, we can tap into the thought leadership that's provided by not only what Everett and his crew have learned to date and what they're doing now, but 6 months from now, a year from now, when he shares lessons learned, and then you have this whole library. Am I envisioning this right, where you have this whole library?
Yeah, you are, and he may be back in 6 months with his lessons learned and his great exit.
We expect you to be a lot smarter in 6 months, Everett.
I hope I am.
You know, we have our own vetting.
So now, is it going to even go one level deeper to that? Or is there going to be an opportunity if angel investors wanted to invest in a company like Kanga? Would there be an opportunity to invest in some of these companies you're spotlighting?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, Everett's got to decide if he needs more money.
Is it going to be some of the matchmaking element to it as well? Is you're going to give us a chance to kind of learn about some of these up and coming companies, and some people might be interested in, you know, getting involved.
Again, kind of going back to mission here, there's a few things that we're trying to accomplish. One is to create a community that makes it easy for people to network together,
right?
So that if you're a startup and you're a capitalist and you're living on Startopia, you can find each other very easily. It's also designed to create some efficiency. So, you know, there are a lot of angels and venture capitalists out there that have very specific criteria on what they're willing to invest in. And not everyone knows that. And so if you're a venture capitalist and you're only interested in giving between $500,000 and $2.5 million and you're focused on healthcare technology, well, you can go to Startopia and find that out, right? And so that kind of narrows the back and forth on whether or not
It helps an Everett relevant. To know, you know what, maybe I don't knock on this guy's door.
Exactly. The other thing that, you know, we're trying to accomplish, and I think you're kind of alluding to that earlier with having a library of things like radio is, you know, we feel like there needs to be more mediums out there that create exposure for what's happening, you know, within the startup community, but with specific startups. And, you know, we're just, you know, we're lean when it comes to media outlets that are focused on startups and technology.
Right.
In Atlanta and the Southeast. And so that's why we're really looking at this as a more of a media brand, and a portal is simply one piece. Now we've got a radio property, and we'll have a TV property, and some other things coming in the future.
Well, I certainly like the idea of having a dedicated platform so that you have some control over giving people the opportunity to share their story. Everett, what's on the horizon that you are able and willing to share? Can you share with us what you see a year from now, 2 years from now for Kanga?
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot I'd like to share. There's a lot I unfortunately can't share. I've had some real interesting conversations in the last couple of weeks with some pretty cool folks. But we believe really strongly that Atlanta is one of the best sort of test markets in the whole country right now. And, you know, we're early adopters of technology. We've got a very, you know, interesting set of problems geographically and logistically. And so for us, Atlanta was the number one, you know, this is where we're starting. It obviously helped that I'm from here, but a lot of the other folks on the team are not. We brought some people in from California, Indiana. We've got a guy who just came in, joined the team from Connecticut. So, I mean, it's a pretty transnational team. And, you know, we believe that Atlanta is going to be the place where we really learn the ropes and figure this process out. The app, we could go live nationally right now. The technology is there. The support's there. We even have the funding to do it on a limited scale right now as well. But, you know, we're going to slowly roll out. We're going to start tapping in. There's a number of different cities in kind of the immediate area. We're looking at Charlotte. We're looking at Austin. We're looking at Tampa and Orlando. You know, kind of sticking in this kind of southeast, southern region. But we'd like to be, in at least 10 or 15 new markets by the end of the year. And then 2015, you know, roll out nationwide coverage and then on to the rest of the world. I guess the rest of the solar system if there's.
So now when you go into additional markets, do you put actually boots on the ground as somebody to be a representative there in that market? Or is it you can handle everything virtually through Atlanta?
A little of both, and like I said, I mentioned earlier, we have some very non-traditional tactics we're using, you know, with the retailer scheme that we've got. We're also doing a thing with the different cities. We're actually sort of crowdsourcing the expansion. So not only are we taking data from people all over the country on where to expand, but we're actually looking at people to take ownership, almost a franchise model in different markets. The nice thing about it, you know, our revenue works the same no matter how we set it up in each city. So we're very willing to bring people on and say, hey, do you want to, you know, the turnkey sort of Ray Kroc three-ring binder of how to franchise this thing? It's yours. Take it, run with it, you know, check in with us once every couple days, and we'll make sure that we're on the right branding path. Obviously, we're going to be traveling to those cities a little bit in the beginning, but, you know, we want people to be able to take ownership for their own local market and create great things there.
So if somebody's in a local market, how does that play? They find you on the web? Like on your website, it says, hey, if you're in these markets, give us a call and we'll...
That's exactly right.
So the markets you mentioned, they're the ones you're targeting first round, you think?
We don't have any names specifically on the website. We have some internal plans. But, you know, if somebody comes to us and says, hey, I'm in Timbuktu and I think this is a great idea, I could have it up and running in 3 months, we say, all right, let's talk.
And then do they have to invest money or is this...
Nope.
So there's no investment of money. They just take some of your tools and then they
That's
just go
great.
Out in the marketplace.
That's it. We have what we call kind of a franchise kit. It's graphics, branding, marketing, you know, schemes, the whole deal.
And so they just have to go start knocking on doors and starting to get some of the retailers.
Exactly right. Yep.
So while we're on this topic of scaling, how do you see Startopia scaling, Jenna or Dean? Speak to that a bit, if you would.
Sure. Well, to Dean's point, you know, we are launching as a portal. We see the media portion scaling. So to your point of having a library of content
right.
and shows that are referenceable and educational. And, you know, who knows? We've got a lot of partnerships and discussions in the work with groups around town and in the region that are very supportive of the idea. You know, we may have conferences one day. We could do some virtual types of things there. So there's a lot of opportunity there, but the media play is where we see a good bit of growth.
What an exciting time. This is going to be fun, and we're going to do this on a regular
yeah.
rhythm. We're going to have folks come in and visit with us and invite folks back. This is going to be fun, Lee.
I know. This is great, and this is the inaugural episode. So what's the best way for people to learn more if they want to see what's happening in the world of Startopia?
Yeah, the easiest thing to do is just go to the site. It's start-opia, opia.com, and you know, that's kind of the first point of entry.
And then you're available on all the normal social media channels, Twitter?
We are. We have a specific Twitter account for Startopia. And then, of course, we've got, the Trevelyan O'Keller Properties, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn.
And where can listeners go to learn more about Kanga, Everett?
Yeah, we have quite a few outlets. We're on Twitter, at GetKanga. We're on the World Wide Web at www.getkanga.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Pinterest. We're on Instagram. We're on everything. We're easy to get at.
And you're looking for, here in Atlanta, more retailers, more people to transport stuff?
Absolutely.
And
retailers,
consumers.
Drivers, consumers, the whole shebang. We just need some developers, too, if anybody's out there contact us.
We've heard
we're
that
hiring.
Before.
Believe
we're
me, that's
hiring
not
a lot.
The first, first request for developers.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest this morning, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Startopia.